Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this article. It's under the banner of City of Monticello. The headline reads, Council Approves Pregame Sports Annexation and Zoning. Monticello City Council members approved three measures on Monday aimed at accommodating a proposed indoor sports complex on the east side of town. First up was a measure approving a zoning change of 3.295 acres of land to the east of Monticello Middle School from urban residential to business. The property is currently farmland, but upon annexation would automatically become urban residential by state law. That designation is not appropriate for any new development, said City Administrator Terry Summers. A business zone would be suitable for this type of use. Next up was an ordinance annexing the property, the proposed home of pregame sports, into the city. The final final act was plat approval for Basak Acres, the name chosen by developers Chris and Samantha Basak. The couple plans to construct a 27,000-square-foot indoor training facility that would have an indoor turf surface and nets for batting cages, a party room, and cardio machines for parents who are waiting on their kids to get done with practice and camps. Also anticipated is space for the Monticello Wrestling Club and Monticello Gymnastics. Chris Basak was asked when he would be breaking ground for the effort. As soon as possible, he told the council, we'll be up and running, hopefully, by the end of the year. Alderman Mike Kuhn asked about any drainage concerns, since the property is located near a city detention basin. For the site plan, we'll submit drainage calculations for that area in regard to stormwater detention, responded City Capital Improvement Project Manager Brett Baker. Next up on the front page is this article. It's under the banner of Monticello Schools, and the headline reads, Boost for School Program. Monticello High School industrial technology instructor Ryan Woodham was just looking for some artwork to spruce up a recently cleaned up storage room at the school. What he got, thanks to Milwaukee Tool, was two pallets worth of equipment that included circular saws, drills, impact drivers, wrenches, hacksaws, hammer drills, and more. When he added it all up, Woodham estimated the value of the donation at $50,000. I was in complete surprise at the quantity of tools, said Woodham, when a semi showed up September 4th to make the delivery. I had reached out to Milwaukee Tool and asked if they would be willing to donate some banners and or posters to hang up and make the room feel less bland, he added. They indicated they were sending two pallets, but I had no idea how tall they would be or what would be on them. The company indicated in an email that the tools are in working condition, but no longer saleable since they had been replaced by newer models. Woodham said a quick glance shows all of them to be new and a significant upgrade for his program. The timing is also perfect, with the high school offering a construction/building trades program for the first time this fall. In the correspondence to Woodham, Milwaukee Tool spokesman Katie Gavin said, "This is a donation of tools to further enhance the learning experience in your classroom. We value education you are providing to students in your technical education classes. We sincerely hope you find these tools to be an asset to your program. This donation has freed up a lot of potential funds for years to come," said Woodham, who usually spends less than $1,000 per school year on new tools. "We no longer have to worry about budgeting for power tools. There's more than enough, at least the rest of my career, as long as the batteries hold up." The Monticello School Board approved the establishment of the construction and building trades track to encourage students to enter the burgeoning construction field, where Woodham said there is a shortage of workers. We want to prepare our students to possibly go into the industry, but more importantly, we want to train them how to become homeowners, Woodham told the school board last December when he introduced the idea. Turning now to page A2, we have this article under the banner of Piatt County, and the headline reads, HVAC Fix for Jail Discussed. An HVAC fix for the 15-year-old Piatt County Public Safety Building, jail, is once again being researched with an initial cost estimated of around $81,000. It would go from two compressors to four, said County Maintenance Supervisor Doug Winder. It was originally designed to have four compressors that would convert it to original specs and bring it up to current technology. The structure has battled frequent and costly air conditioning repairs since the jail was completed in 2004. County officials have claimed for years that the building was designed for a total of four compressors, but that two larger ones were installed instead. But since the rest of the system was installed with four units in mind, they say the load can be too much and causes issues. Winder estimated HVAC repair costs had totaled around $56,000 since 2013, mostly in compressor issues. He told the Building and Grounds Committee on September 4th that the tentative bid would include conversion to more modern coolant. In addition to less projected maintenance cost, Winder said the work would make for a more efficient system. It would be more consistent, comfortable, and we'd have redundancy, so for whatever reason the system could still run at least half, he said. It would function as designed. Additional bids are being sought. And this is under a section under the heading of Sunday outage. A power outage also caused issues at the PSB on September 1st when a generator did not automatically kick in after power was lost. Winder said that was the result of a blown fuse, which was replaced. County Board Chairman Ray Spencer thanked maintenance staff for the weekend work after a 5:30 a.m. call out. I told Doug we appreciate that this was taken care of on a Sunday morning and that he should also express our gratitude to Richard Hedges and Matt Lee for assisting him, noted Spencer. Hedges and Lee are also on the county maintenance staff. And under the heading of Trees Removed at Courthouse, we have this. The view of the east side of the courthouse is more clear after two dying trees were removed recently. Stumps will be removed later. County officials are accepting donations for tree replacements at the courthouse. Those interested can email Winder at maint.doug@piattcounty.org. In other action, the Building and Grounds Committee heard from Winder that all valves in the courthouse pipes had been replaced. Some valves malfunctioned last winter, causing leaks into building offices during the heating season. The board was told the remodeling of a state's attorney's office is nearly complete, and they received a report from Mental Health Center Director Tony Kirkman, who said he is trying to get to the bottom of generator malfunctions at his building. He has received conflicting reports on whether the current generator can accommodate the building's full load and noted the issue needs resolved since the building is a designated heat area. Turning now to page A3, we have this article under the banner of Piatt County Schools. And the headline reads, Marching Bands Ready to Hit the Field. From the brutal heat of summer band camps to early morning practices, once the school year begins, high school marching bands have been diligently preparing for the competition season that starts this weekend for many schools. From P.T. Barnum and Elton John Showdown at Blue Ridge to a mixed bag for Monticello that ranges from classical pieces to Zombie by the Cranberries, this year's shows definitely have variety. What is being planned for Friday night halftimes and Saturday band competitions? Here is a rundown. At Arthur, the staff director is Ryan Wood, color guard director Haley Caulfield. The theme is espionage, the theme explained. The music is fun and challenging. The students also had a great interest in this show, and I like to get their opinion, said Wood. The songs will be Mission Impossible theme, Pink Panther theme, and Skyfall from the James Bond movie. Their competitions are September 1st at Mount Zion Marching Music Games, September 28th, Newton Marching Eagles Band Classic, October 19th, Effingham Marching Hearts Invitational, October 26th, University of Illinois State Marching Band Championships. Director Ryan Wood, what can people expect from your show? Expect to see a group of hardworking students that love to perform and give the audience what they want. Expect excitement and good music. And in BMAT, the staff, the director is Sarah Fairbanks. The theme is Guardians of the Galaxy. The songs are Hooked on a Feeling, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Spirit in the Sky, and Escape. Their competitions are September 14th is Monticello Sage City, September 21st, Mount Zion Marching Music Games, September 28th, Newton Marching Eagles Band Classic, October 19th, Effingham Marching Hearts Invitational, and October 26th, Oblong Marching Band Parade and Field Competition. And in Blue Ridge, the director is Chris Mitchell. The auxiliary director is Jacqueline Meisner. The theme is The Greatest Showman. The theme explained, the recent Hollywood release reintroduced the world to the genius that is P.T. Barnum. But is he really the greatest showman, or is he an incredible business, ad, and hype man? If he's not the greatest, then who is? Well, the Blue Ridge Marching Knights will make the case that it is not other than the incredible, the incomparable, the legend, the icon, the rocket man himself, Sir Elton John. Through our show, we will explore the music from the Hollywood blockbuster and the music of Elton John, said Mitchell. We will juxtapose four songs from the show and four classic Elton tunes. Then you can be the judge. The songs are The Greatest Show, Benny and the Jets, Never Enough, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, This Is Me, I'm Still Standing, and From Now On. Competitions are September 21st, the Mount Zion Marching Music Games, October 5th, EIU Panther Marching Festival, October 12th, Metamora High School Marching Festival, October 19th, Effingham High School Marching Festival, October 26th, University of Illinois State Marching Band Championships. The director's Chris Mitchell, and what can people expect from your show? We hope that you will feel the energy and excitement and the wow factor that can be felt at both a circus and an Elton John concert. Both have many moments that have you on the edge of your seat and holding your breath in anticipation, and we hope to bring you that in about 9 minutes on a field. And while we may not have elephants or rocket men, we do have a couple of surprises up our sleeves for the show. So don't take your eyes off the field. Monticello, their staff, the directors are Allison Allender and Amanda J. Allen. Color guard, Junsara King. Percussion, Jody Stone and Lindsay Alexander. And the choreographer, Mark Moss. Their theme is The Only Way Out Is Through. The theme explained, the idea behind it is about an individual's struggle to overcome and persevere through things that are scary or difficult for them, said Allender. The idea started with one idea that Amanda J. Allen had, and after brainstorming it with our staff, the idea evolved from there. The songs include Lost Boy by Ruth B., Media's Dance of Vigence by Samuel Barber, Zombie by the Cranberries, Payvane by Gabriel Fauer, and Titanium by David Guetta. Their competitions are September 14th in Sage City in Monticello, the exhibition only, September 21st, the Mount Zion Marching Music Games, October 5th, EIU Panther Marching Festival, October 12th, Normal Marching Band Invitational, and October 18th, Bands of America Super Regional in St. Louis. Director Allison Allender, what can people expect from your show? We hope that people are inspired to push through the difficult things in their life and come out on top. We will have lots of fast-paced marching and guard routine, exciting choreography, and excellent music. And in the Cerro Gordo High School does not march in competition, but the band will play at halftime for home football games on September 13th, September 20th, and October 25th. They are performing selections based around the holiday theme of the school's homecoming. The holidays were determined by each grade. We will be playing music from Halloween, 4th of July, New Year's, and Cinco de Mayo, said director Will Pritchard. Turning now to page A4, we have this article. It's under the banner of Monticello Schools, and the headline reads, Sage City Marching Band Event is Saturday. Monticello High School will host its annual Sage City 2019 Marching Band Competition on Saturday, September 14th at the high school football field. Bands will compete within four classes beginning at 3 p.m. with Beeman High School. The small school C/D class continues with Oakaw Valley at 3:15 p.m., Sangamon Valley at 3:30, Arcola at 3:45 p.m., Tri-Valley at 4 p.m., and Heritage at 4:15 p.m. Class B competition begins at 4:45 p.m. with Unity taking the field. Other bands in that class will take the field every 15 minutes and include PBL, Paris, and Mount Carmel, which closes the class with a 5:30 p.m. performance. Class A bands include Jacksonville, Richland County, Mattoon, and Carbondale, starting at 6 p.m., with AA bands Urbana and Danville perform at 7 and 7:15 p.m. Monticello will not compete, but will provide an exhibition of their 2019 show at 7:45 p.m. Awards will be announced at 8 p.m. Next on page A4, we have this article under the banner of Special Olympics Illinois. And the headline reads, York continues as ambassador for Special Olympics Illinois. Monticello High School senior Emerson Hort will crown the Little Miss and Little Mr. Polar Bear at a pageant being held Sunday, October 6th at the Oaks Lodge, 903 North Dunlap Avenue in Savoy. The pageant is scheduled for 1 to 4 p.m. and is being presented by the Law Enforcement Torch Run, which benefits Special Olympics Illinois. Hewitt is the current Polar Plunge Ambassador and also a global messenger for Special Olympics Illinois. She's the daughter of Kathleen Williams and Kurt Hewitt. Hewitt has served as ambassador for 2 years for the plunge, which typically takes place at several locations across the state in February and March. She also logs community hours working at Torch Run events and Special Olympics and attended the International Law Enforcement Torch Run Conference in 2018 in Las Vegas as an Illinois athlete representative. She recently gave an opening speech to approximately 12,000 people attending a large demo derby called the 5-0 at the Dirty O in Joliet, an annual Torch Run event to support Special Olympics as well. The Little Miss and Mr. titles, open to those 4 to 10 years old, will be awarded based on point scores given by judges. Winners will assist the Polar Plunge Ambassador for the 2020 Polar Plunge campaign. This year's title holders are Tyler King, Little Mister of Monticello, and Quinn Lillard, Little Miss of Villa Grove. Additional information is available at http://polarbearpageant.event.com or by emailing upidletr@gmail.com. And now turning to page A5 under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Grace A. Sullivan, 89, of Beeman, Illinois, passed away at 8:12 a.m. on Sunday, September 8, 2019, at the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello, Illinois. A funeral mass will be held on the at 11 a.m. on Friday, September 13, 2019, at the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Ivesdale, Illinois. The Reverend Father Freddy Gomez Torres will officiate, assisted by Deacon Jim Brewer. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. until time of services on Friday at the church. Burial will be in the St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery in Ivesdale. Memorial contributions can be made to the St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Ivesdale. Nellie Downs Wilkes Rollins, 75, of Farmer City, formerly of Rantoul, passed away at 8:15 a.m. on August 29, 2019, at the Farmer City Rehab Center. Visitation was held from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, September 7, 2019, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. A celebration of life ceremony was held at 12 p.m. Saturday, September 7, at the Lodge Church of God, Lodge, Illinois. Interment was held in Mackey Cemetery. Margaret A. Marvin, 86, of Monticello, passed away at 6:49 p.m. September 8, 2019, at Kirby Medical Center in Monticello. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Dawson Gregory Howe, infant son of Adam and Lacey Gregory Howe of Ivesdale, passed away on August 31, 2019, at Carl Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be Saturday, September 14th at the Crossroads Church in Monticello. Funeral services will follow with Pastor Randy Hineshaw officiating interment in Monticello Township Cemetery. Elaine Sue Beals, 79, of Urbana, passed away at 9:34 p.m. August 29, 2019 at University Rehab in Urbana. A graveside service was held Friday, September 6th at the Monticello Township Cemetery. And now, returning to the news and views on page A5, under the banner of City of Monticello, we have this article headlined, "Very Little Input on Cannabis Sales Issue." Monticello aldermen are urging constituents to show up at next Monday night's planning and zoning board session and express their feelings on the possible sale of recreational cannabis in town. But after no input from its citizenry in five separate council discussions, they are wondering if that input will ever roll in. "My suspicion is that people care less than we think they care," said Alderman Jeremy Jones at the latest city council session on September 9th. "It's a scene being played out in other communities as well. No one testified on the cannabis sales issue at a Savoy Planning Commission last month, and turnout was limited to about 10 people when it was discussed recently in Urbana. There has also been little public interest one way or another and from larger bodies than ours," said Alderman Wendell Brock, who on Monday was serving as mayor pro tem in the absence of Mayor Larry Stoner. "Towns are learning on the fly after Illinois approved the recreational use of marijuana starting January 1st. Even the state has admitted there is enough confusion that additional legislation may be needed to clarify it. One thing is clear, though, communities can vote to opt out of the sale of cannabis within their jurisdictions if they choose to. For Monticello, that decision will not come this month. The PZB next week will deal only with the issue of a temporary moratorium on cannabis businesses located within the city. It is a move being made to give the council time to craft legislation on how it will handle marijuana sales, if at all. Next Monday, I'm anticipating the PZB holding a public hearing and hopefully gathering some public input and voting on the moratorium to get back in front of you on September 23rd, said City Administrator Terry Summers. "This moratorium will simply allow this council to conduct more research and garner more public input until a decision can be made in the near future," added Summers. Alderman Mike Kuhn asked if the zoning body should consider more than just a moratorium when it meets at 7 p.m. September 16th. "It has been noted that local regulations will likely be crafted through zoning requirements, such as setbacks and where cannabis sellers can be located. Fellow council member John Frerichs felt that one issue was enough to put on the PZB for now. I don't think that they need to have any more on their plate at that meeting, said Frerichs. I think it's going to be a lot of information to digest, so I think it would be important that they have the time to digest that and not have to make a decision at that time. The Planning and Zoning Board meeting will be held in the City Council chambers. Any recommendation made would also need City Council approval in order to go into effect. Council members on Monday did enact a 3% sales tax on all recreational cannabis sales. Summers said the Illinois Municipal League recommended the measure be enacted by September 30th for the sales tax to be on the books for 2020. Summers said it is a preemptive move and does not bind the city to allow or opt out of the sale of recreational cannabis. Alderman Rodney Burris was still concerned with how it would appear. My only concern is it looks like we're already approving sales, said Burris. I know that's not what it says, but that's kind of how it looks. The council voted 5-1 to approve the sales tax, with Burris voting no. And in other discussions, Alderman applauded the Monticello Recreation Foundation for its recent meeting to outline efforts to develop a 30-acre recreation complex on the west side of Monticello. I would encourage anyone who's interested to consider joining one of their committees, said Frerichs. Those wanting to volunteer can email info@MonticelloRecFoundation.org or message the foundation through its Facebook site. Summers said the streetscape work on West Washington Street will not be complete by Monticello Bration on September 21st, but that the sidewalk and street would still be usable by then. Provisions will be made to make the area open to pedestrian traffic for that event, he said. Most of the concrete work is done. The metal decorative hand railing will not be installed, so that they will do a temporary wooden railing. Brock reminded the community that this Friday is the Monticello High School football team's first home game of the season. With the school's construction project limiting parking spots, he urged local residents to find alternate methods of travel if attending the contest. If you are a friend and family and attend the game and you have any other way, ride a bicycle, walk, whatever, to get there, I encourage you to do so, said Brock. Finally for today, we have this article. It's under the banner of U of I Extension, and the headline reads, 4-H Foundation Award Given to Moore Family. In the earliest beginnings of 4-H, the children of Peter and Anna Moore were leading generations of Central Illinois youth. Their descendants, including Lynn Remmert, a Piatt County 4-H club leader of the Prairie Kids, were honored as the 2019 Illinois 4-H Foundation Family Spirit winners during a ceremony August 13th at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Peter Moore came to America from Germany in 1857 and married Anna. Of their seven children, Laura and May Moore, born in 1896 and 1906, served as leaders of the Silver Leaf Let's Go Girls 4-H Club in McLean County for 40 years. In total, 75 family members with roots to Peter and Anna are affiliated with 4-H. Combined, they share 530 years of membership, 303 years of club leadership, and 368 years of volunteer service to 4-H. We have learned firsthand that 4-H teaches youth many valuable life skills, a family spokesman said, and we all enjoy sharing our time and talent to help empower the next generation of youth by teaching them they can make the best better. This has been the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.